This is Kate Arquas Gray at the 2010 Radio Festival. I've grabbed somebody from the crowd to join me, and it is Nick Goodman, radio consultant these days, former London Capital FM programme director, head of music at Virgin once upon a time, and now self-proclaimed international man of mystery. Please explain.
It doesn't say that on my business card. Now, I do a lot of travelling with radio consultancy, so I think that's the international part of it. But international radio consultant will do fine. Thank you very much.
Okay, so no mystery involved then.
There's very little mystery involved in what I do, I can assure you.
So we've just been in the session that was sort of celebrating Piccadilly Radio in the 80s and the amount of creativity that was going on there, and you were picking up on one particular point from that.
Yeah, I think it was a really kind of inspirational session, and the it's the last place I thought I'd get inspiration from Timmy Mallett. But having said that, he was great on stage. Chris Evans was fantastic as ever. And I think it was a bit of a kind of retro fest, and you had to have been there to kind of enjoy the session. But they walked the line, I think, between that and between providing a very inspirational session about focusing on radio and how to get creative radio, and what they did about that. And one of the most interesting points I think they touched on was this idea behind creativity not needing a huge amount of money. And you know, all over the world, and I travelled to lots of different countries and worked with lots of different radio stations, and you know, there's no doubt that there are not jacuzzis of cash flying around in all sorts of different places anymore. The constraints on budgets are kind of tighter than they've ever been. So as a programmer sitting there and saying, "Well, I can't do it because I haven't got the money to do it," is often an excuse that's used. But Timmy and Chris and the other guys on the panel reminded me of something we probably all know, which is true creativity doesn't necessarily need an enormous budget to make it happen. And it was great watching Timmy on stage just come up with, you know, five, six different ideas that which were just fun and you could do relatively easily, and were, you know, you could stick on YouTube or on Facebook or Audible, whatever it is. And it was fun to see that. And I think it's a timely lesson to remind us that you don't need enormous budgets to make great radio. Great radio can come from great ideas, and those don't need great budgets to make them work.
I think there's a real sort of energy on the stage. I mean, I wasn't around in Manchester at that time. I missed out on that whole era.
You're far too young, that's why.
Well, yeah, I was more into Timmy Mallett when he did Whack-A-Day.
Right.
In fact, I did reveal to him that I used to whack a wave out of the back of the car with my friend.
I'm sure he'd like that.
Yeah, he said he was pleased and then kind of looked a bit weird at me. Unsurprisingly, I suppose. But I think, I mean, there was real energy on the stage. It was a really interesting session, and you could see them, you know, it's like a sparkle in their eye.
Yeah.
But, I mean, how... Is that something you just have to have naturally, or can people be taught to have that sparkle and that way of thinking?
No, they can't. They can't. Somebody who's dull is inevitably going to be dull on the radio as well. You can't necessarily coach someone to be exciting and a great presenter if they don't have the required talent. What you can do is you can take somebody that has got a decent amount of talent and make them even better. It's very hard to take someone who has no aptitude at all at doing something and making them quite good at it. You know, I'm sure there's lots of people who'll disagree with me, but you know, I think it's really hard to do that. There's an old expression which I'll use, which is you can't polish a turd, and I think that applies in radio as it does in lots of other areas. Well, let me just mention another point which the guys made, and it's more about the commercial radio industry in the 1980s. You know, I grew up in Liverpool, and the equivalent was Radio City there, and that was also a station that had lots of great local presenters and a real sense of identity, and had exciting programs on it, and had kids outside on a Saturday morning waiting for autographs of the DJs. It created local stars, and you know, I can see a lot of that has been eroded away. So it was nice almost to kind of have that little retro fest as we walked down memory lane, remembering how exciting radio was in the 80s particularly.
Well, as you so eloquently put it, you can't polish a turd. but people with the kind of ideas and creative energy and that kind of sparkle that, you know, Evans and Timmy Mallett both have, I mean, they're kind of few and far between, and they're very hard to find. So, I mean, given that these days it seems like it's harder and harder to kind of break into the industry, more and more people are being poached directly from television, bringing their kind of stardom and audience with them. I mean, how are you going to find this new generation of people? And what is the industry doing to encourage and develop new talent?
Yeah, well, making sure that young people are interested in radio is the first part of that, and opening your doors to the opportunities that young people can have at your radio station is really important. You know, I think it's sad that overnight shows have disappeared, and some of the TOing opportunities that used to exist when I was younger have gone as well because it's all automated now. So, you know, I got into radio because I started answering the phones for Pete Waterman, as it happened, on a Saturday morning at Radio City in Liverpool in the late 80s, and and then I got to drive the Rick Dees weekly top 40, which came on a big reel down from Newcastle or something like that, you know. So there were lots of jobs and opportunities. So I think if those don't exist at your radio station, you've got to find them. There's always room for an extra person to do some research on a show, or someone to come up with some ideas, or the generic runner who kind of is just somebody who hangs around and does the things that you don't want to do. But getting those people in, and within that there are going to be lots of bright young sparks who hopefully you can nurture and fan into becoming powerful flames of radio in the future. So I think that as somebody who's kind of come in from that end a long time ago, I always like to see that opportunities are given to young people to get into radio. And making radio attractive to young people is a really important thing that the industry can do. So open your doors to keen young people. Always answer those letters. Never go, oh, it's just an email from some idiot who wants to work at our radio station. We need those people, because that young idiot might be the next Chris Evans.
And actually, linking that point back to your first point about creativity not having to cost very much money, I mean, I often think that student radio is a really creative place. And in fact, it's creative because there is no money, and in order to make the most of the fact you've got no money, you have to be creative. So perhaps it's something that the commercial industry could learn from student stations.
Yeah, absolutely. I think student radio is fantastic, and the more I hear of it and the more I learn about it, the more I think it's a fantastic breeding ground. So, you're right, there are opportunities, and maybe as the networking has closed down some opportunities in some ILR commercial radio stations around the country. At the same time, an industry around student radio and community radio as well has kind of blossomed. So there are other opportunities. But student radio is fantastic. Some of it's fantastic, I have to say. I've heard some of it was a bit dodgy. But, then again, that's what it's about. And certainly from my time at university, it was actually a very kind of a free-thinking, liberal time. So, although I didn't have the opportunity to be on a student radio station, who knows the great ideas that I could have had if I'd had that outlet at the time to be on that particular student radio station in Bournemouth that didn't exist at the time.
Why didn't you set it up?
There you go. That's a very good question. One I don't have an answer to.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your time. And what else are you looking forward to in the festival?
I'm looking forward to having a drink tonight, actually. That's the main thing I'm looking forward to.
That's always the way with the radio festival.
For medicinal purposes only, having a bit of a croaky throat, as you can hear.